Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it is another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, continuing a discussion this week on the beneficiary's perspective in an estate and closing an estate. And you've passed away now, and your beneficiaries are left behind, and we want to make sure this all works properly and what they should expect. And kind of review what we talked about last week a little bit here before we start today.
Yeah, so we're kind of a continuation of the past many weeks. We've been talking about settling an estate with Danielle from my firm. She was the voice in the past weeks. Last week I took over and we started talking about what does it mean to inherit just cash in the hands of somebody through a will or through a beneficiary designation. And then we transferred last week just to begin the topic of what does it look like to inherit from a trust. And really where we left off is that a trust is an instrument, specifically when you have beneficiaries that need financial assistance, may be the best tool for you to use as an estate plan. If you have a beneficiary that is disabled, if you have a beneficiary that is impoverished and is utilizing social assistance, if you have a beneficiary that is unable to manage money just because that's not their skill set, or if we have young beneficiaries, young children, then we need to set up a plan that is going to protect individuals long term. A trust in its nature endures over a long period of time. As a matter of fact, Washington law says that a trust can remain in place for 150 years.
Wow.
So multiple generations, a trust can survive when you have sufficient assets to put in, or when you want to make sure that what you have been given stewardship of lasts for multiple generations, whether that is to individuals or whether it's to charities, and the list goes on. So what does it mean if a beneficiary receives their inheritance in what we call a trust share, meaning the trust now breaks into however many kids or beneficiaries you have, and a trust share is started? And the nice thing about the way a lot of trusts are designed, or the way trusts should be designed, in my opinion, is that the beneficiaries are split so that they're no longer connected. Okay. There may be occasional times when that is not true. If we have a business that we wanted to keep together for family purposes, if we have a place over in Montana, I mean, who doesn't want a place in Montana that you go fishing at, and you go, that's now going to become the family cabin or the lakeside cabin or something like that, that became a very special family place. Sometimes we hold that in a family container where multiple beneficiaries can use it and have rights to it, okay? Otherwise, outside of some of those examples, we typically take the portion that a beneficiary is entitled to and set that aside in individual trust shares for each beneficiary so that they can manage their own portion of the trust and be separated from siblings and other beneficiaries. So it kind of cleans up the estate, disconnects everybody so that they can make their own financial choices, so they can make their own distribution choices, and we set them up individually instead of as a collective group. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where we're at here today, is talking a little bit more about what does it mean to inherit in a trust.
Well, then the question is, can a beneficiary control their own trust?
Right, because I actually alluded that the reason we do separate each beneficiary is to give them some sense of control over that. So the trusts are set up in different ways. So here is the unfortunate part about today's discussion, is that I'm going to talk a lot about what I do, but unfortunately, that's not what most trusts do. Mm. I've reviewed a lot of trusts, and unfortunately, most trusts do not follow the advice or the discussion that I am going to give to you right now. So I'm going to tell you what my firm does and set you up with the best mentality, but I would caution you that most trusts, whether you have one now or whether you think you want to develop one, unfortunately, I don't see that this is what happens all that often with other people's work. Okay. So in thinking through that, how much control somebody has, many trusts. So number one, the trust rules, they rule the entire day. So every time that we have a beneficiary, we need to look at the trust instrument to determine what are the beneficiary rights. So we can create a trust where the beneficiary has absolutely no control at all. Okay. And there's times when that is very appropriate. Again, think of a disabled individual. We actually don't want them to have control because it would eliminate or it would stop all social assistance to that individual. We would have to create a trust that is far more detailed, a special needs trust, to ensure that that they can continue to receive the social benefit, the governmental benefits that they're receiving.
So the person on Medicaid in an adult family home who's still got a number of years to live, if they all of a sudden inherit a bunch of money, then that...
They're in trouble. As a matter of fact, and that happens, which is we spend time trying to separate spousal assets only to find that they never did their estate plan, and it goes right back to the spouse, and now we're going to waste all the family money. Or many special needs individuals or disabled individuals don't have the proper trust set up. They're beneficiaries on an IRA. That's difficult. And by the way, if you have a disabled individual that you need to care for, adult, child, sibling, anywhere in between, disinheriting them is not the answer. Doing good estate planning is the answer, because that's kind of the extreme opinion out there that I actually hear quite a bit about, which is, oh, I'll just disinherit the child, give everything to the sibling, and the siblings will just take care of their needy or their disabled sibling. That doesn't work either. And so good estate planning is always the solution. So there may be trusts as a beneficiary where you actually have no control. You're not the trustee. You don't get to invest the money. You don't even get the choice of how much you are going to receive from it, because the trust is really locked down for you. Now, most trusts, unless there is a very specific need in the family, are not designed that way. Okay, so most trusts are not. However, I have many trusts that we watch over where someone set up income for life to the first generation, but then gives the remainder to the second generation. That style of planning, it seems to be going away. That was a very popular way to do estate planning in the 80s and 90s, and a lot of plans were created with that thought process and mentality, which is, well, my kids are better, more established. They really don't need the money, so I'm going to give them the income for the rest of their life. But then the principal will, when my child dies, will go to my grandkids, and my grandkids will get a kickstart. So really, the first level beneficiary who's getting the income has very, very little, almost no control over that money. And so that's another example of when control is not going to be handed over to beneficiaries. However, many beneficiaries have the right that when they have a trust share, that they can do all the investing. So in other words, they have a lot of control of the risk factor that they want to implement within the market system, whether it's holding on to cash. You realize that that's a negative investment because inflation, anyone experienced inflation the past year or so, your cash is not keeping up with inflation. So that's a negative investment. There's bonds and there's savings, money markets, and other things that at least have some interest rate. Mm-hmm. Again, most interest rates haven't kept up with inflation, so those have been negative returns overall. But those are very safe. You're not exposed to the market. And then there's the S&P 500, which will kind of go up and down, but yet steadies out everything. Then there's very high risk. You can go into cryptocurrencies. You can do penny stocks. You can trade on margins. Boy, you can do a lot of risky things. And a lot of trusts are set up to give the beneficiary that right to speak over their inheritance and how they want to manage that, whether it's cash, whether it's bonds, whether it is in the market in a balanced approach, or whether it's high risk. Most, even with that, you could purchase homes, you could purchase rentals and other things with that, because the investment power rests with the beneficiary. Okay. And all of those things are investment powers. Then they would also have a lot of the administration powers. So in other words, they have to do taxes for a tax return. They have to know where to find their documents, make sure that the that any trust bills, invoices given to the trust are paid. So there ends up being a lot of control, a lot of voice over the inheritance that we try to give to beneficiaries. But there's a couple rules that we have to abide by, both by IRS and state law, in order for that trust to remain intact. So one of the things is that if the beneficiary has control over the three primary roles of a trustee, the three primary roles are invest, administrate, and distribute, then Washington law says that because they have all of the power and they are the only beneficiary, that their trust does not exist. That almost makes sense, because if I'm the only one reading the rules, following the rules, and I can make up the rules, and I'm the only one to benefit from it, then really what that is called is fee simple in legal jargon. That means it's yours, because there's no integrity to the system. There's nobody saying, are you following what the IRS rules are, which is an ascertainable standard, which is health, maintenance, education, and support. So without that boundary line, without integrity in the system of who else is going to be assisting that beneficiary, then oftentimes we have a breakdown of the trust. Even if it's maintained, then if something went wrong, if the IRS pointed the finger, if you were in a bad car accident, somebody may have the opportunity to come after those assets, just as if they were given to you with a check from the estate and being instead of being held in a trust. So there's always certain boundaries in a trust that we must abide by. Otherwise, the legal sufficiency of the trust itself is compromised. And if it's compromised, then it's really just the beneficiaries. And we lose the potential protective nature of the trust and the tax protections of the
trust.
Which
was the point in the first place.
Which for many people was exactly why we set it up, was to protect a beneficiary, make sure that the taxes are all going to be upheld, to create a better taxing system out of the trust, and then, if and when necessary, actually put some of those boundaries around the beneficiary if indeed they needed financial assistance to really manage their life. So so there's the basis of what we have to do in the background to make sure that the trust is going to be upheld and remain intact. When we come back, we'll talk more about what does it mean for someone else to assist the beneficiary, because we're talking about what is the beneficiary's perspective when they inherit a trust.
Okay, interesting stuff. If you're intrigued and want to find out more about Paul's services, how do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com, past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate to us. Would love to hear from you. Head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Paul is telling us of how the trust will help the beneficiary and the beneficiary's perspective as you close an estate. And we kind of left off on who all needs to be involved along with the trustee in these benefits of being a beneficiary.
Yes. Let's take a quick moment. There is some old style thinking about trusts as it relates to beneficiaries. One of the first knee-jerk reactions from a beneficiary, if they do not know this is coming down the pike, is, my parents did what? And so they have the philosophy that somehow this is going to be an instrument that controls them. So we go back to control. Look, nobody likes to be controlled, specifically by their parents, no matter what age we are. Mm-hmm. So we're always fighting the misnomer or the false information of how trust used to be designed and what society thinks trusts are meant for. Most people think trusts are meant and designed to control somebody. They truly are not nowadays. There is as much flexibility as we can give as almost giving it outright. And yet, there are protection issues. What do I mean by that? If your beneficiary was divorced, the trust is a shield to ensure or to assist in making sure that that trust share is going to remain with them. If they have to go through bankruptcy, or if they have a bad car accident, health conditions, many examples of what does it mean to have assets shielded from those life incidences. We hope life is going to go very well for a beneficiary, but I don't want to put my everything that I have just in hope. I want to make sure that I use hope with wisdom moving into faith so that I know. Because that's the difference between hope and faith. Hope is a emotional desire. Faith is an absolute knowledge. I want to create a system that we have an absolute knowledge that our beneficiaries are going to be well cared for. So from a beneficiary's perspective, helping them understand the power and benefits of a trust is actually a paramount part of the educational program that we have at our firm that I don't know if any other law firm around actually has. Mm. And so we actually educate the families, the beneficiaries. Why? Because we want them to understand that this is how they're going to receive their inheritance and begin to see that it's for a protection issue and for a tax issue that will benefit them in the long run without actually controlling them from the grave. So a trust, the way that most are built, are not a controlling factor. They are a blessing factor. And so how do we get them to that blessing? Well, number one, we give them a lot of control. And we were talking about that. They can invest their money. They can administrate it. But the one thing that we put into our trust is what we call a distribution code trustee. It needs to be a CPA trustee or professional trustee. The beneficiary locks arms with them. And their only job is to say, yes, the request that you are making from your trust fits the rules or the boundaries of the trust. And so therefore, go ahead and utilize it. Mm. Now, that's an integrity system and an accountability system. When we have accountability, it is administered properly. When things are administered properly, they are actually upheld in law. And so therefore, the tax structure, the protection structure with this new relationship. And by the way, the beneficiary gets to choose who they work with. As a matter of fact, I object to people saying, well, can you just do it? No, I can't do it because I want the beneficiary to choose somebody that they know, like, and trust to ensure that they're going to have a great experience. Now, that might be my firm, but it doesn't have to be my firm. And so therefore, when a trust is set up properly, then there is another person who is involved in making the distribution decision. And all they're doing is they're adding integrity to the system, and their only job is to approve that, yes, the trust says distribute in that manner. Mm. When that person exists, things are upheld, and now we're administrating the whole trust appropriately. Now, in that, people ask, well, what does that look like? Well, let me give you just a little bit of background about if we were a trustee, because my firm also does trusteeships. We assist clients manage as a trustee the trustee that we've created or that others have created. Mm-hmm. So yes, we have a trustee section of our law firm. Now, we want to make sure that it is as easy and straightforward as possible for beneficiaries to feel in control of their assets without us clogging up their mentality, right? Because I admit the beneficiaries are already on alert. They're already feeling that, great, I have this trust and it's to control. No, it's to actually set you free and protect. So how does that work? We develop a budget. We help them take a long-term perspective of what they're going to do with their inheritance. If people just take those steps as a beginning, then there is a higher likelihood that they will not overspend and that they will actually begin to think long-term with what the blessing that they've been given. It is actually quite amazing that as we are the trustee for beneficiaries, that when they have to think through the process, that relationship alone becomes a governor of how much they spend, because they're taking a moment to think about it. Mm-hmm. They're stopping their world to think about it. They're stopping and getting some financial wisdom. And then when we add in a financial advisor to that puzzle, and we're all having a roundtable discussion, and we've got a financial advisor speaking to, this is how you should be thinking about your risks in the market. These are good places to put your money. And if we do calculations based upon what you're going to need out of the trust, based upon how long it's going to stay in the trust, now we've got somebody who's going to give us a long-term perspective of really how long will that money last. I don't know too many people that would say, boy, that's a really bad thing to help beneficiaries with, to stop their world and help them take a financial assessment with, for many of them, which is now a windfall. I know that some listeners out there, that your kids are doing better than you are. As a matter of fact, isn't that a great blessing to watch your kids do better than you are? But for many, it is very much the opposite, which is if you were to pass away, your kids are going to receive more than they've ever had. And are they financially ready to meet that challenge? And utilizing a trust system, when it's developed properly, can add in not guidelines and boundaries and rules and regulations, but the voices of wisdom to help the beneficiary see long-term, because if they've not had much money, they are more of a survivalist month to month than they are a long-term thinker. And survivalists tend to outspend their money when they get it instead of having a long-term vision of what does it mean for me to have money in 20 more years. So a trust can be a very powerful protective instrument. It can be a tax benefit. We'll do a show coming up in the next couple of weeks about taxes and what the benefits are. I know everyone is just riveted to tune back in to listen about tax talk. But typically, when you add this other professional, when they're doing their job well and when they're doing it right, it will be a voice that will help a beneficiary see long-term and develop a strategy and plan of how does this money get used for my benefit or my children's benefit, my family benefit, charity benefit, long-term instead of when we distribute with a check, whether it's a beneficiary designation, a will, there is, unless that person is very well established, not just established, but really established in their finances and has a financial advisor to listen to and CPAs and attorneys, then it is unfortunately the most common thing we see is that money distributed outright, just put in a beneficiary's hands, are left to their emotional nuances. Mm. And how many of us have lost family members and loved ones? Are we thinking clearly? Are we emotionally stable? Usually no. And many financial mistakes are made within the first year of receiving an inheritance. So using a trust can be a very powerful tool, a very freeing tool, and it oftentimes changes the mentality of the beneficiary to think that I'm protected, I've got my taxes done well, and I'm having somebody who is going to help me think long-term about what I just received.
The beneficiary's perspective in closing an estate, an interesting discussion last couple of episodes. And if you would like to find out more about Paul's services at Planning with Purpose, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's upcoming educational opportunities, past podcasts, and ways to communicate with us. Would love to meet you. Head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.